Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got Al's brother in the filter in about a half an hour. Sam Mitchell coming up from Scotiabank Arena. It's great to have Sam back up here. He's in the country. He's in the city. He'll be in the building tonight. Home opener for the Raptors. First home game in a long time for the Raptors. And it's going to be an uphill battle for them. You know, I was thinking more about our conversations with Masai yesterday and Nick Nurse a couple of days ago. I heard Bobby Webster on the morning show this morning. If you listen close enough, they're telling you it's not a great team, right?
Yeah. Like they cryptically.
Cryptically, they're telling you, we're fighting for 500. We're fighting for a playoff spot. But don't be expecting 55 wins and sitting atop the East. They don't have enough talent. They don't. I think offensively they're going to struggle at times, especially without Pascal Siakam early in the season, because they don't have a lot of guys who create their own offense. And they're young. They're turning the roster over. When Kyle left, right? You don't have that guy that you can rely on. Like Kyle represented someone who was like a stopper. If things were going south for a game or two, you're like, Kyle's going to show up tonight. He's going to show up. He's going to score. He's going to defend. He's going to draw charges. He's going to drag them into the fight, and he's going to walk out of that building with a win. They don't have that heartbeat, you know, anymore. And someone
I think the average fan is also looking, because the average fan just looks at big picture, high profile type things, Hayes. And the average fan, I'm a prime example. All I look at it is, okay, you had Kawhi here, you won the championship. You can take a step back, but how are you going to pull the trigger on getting elite talent here again to give yourself another chance?
Right.
That's the way I look at it. They just gave Masai probably making massive dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like to rebuild here for 10 years. It's like, how can you pull the trigger and get elite talent? Because this league, more than any, if you don't have it, you don't have a chance. You're on the outside looking in. You see the same teams year after year that don't have star players. They'll fight for a playoff spot. They'll get in, probably make some noise, but that's it. You have zero chance.
Well, don't you think that they win, that takes the, you know, gives him a longer runway? So they believe he can do it again, but he's probably said to him, it's going to take this amount of time. I'm looking at year whatever, year five, year six from now or from then. Now it's 2 years into year five or six, because we got draft, we got to develop, you know, we got to move away from, you know, Kyle, or Kyle's going to move away from us, that type of stuff. You've got a plan in place. We'll see if he can execute it.
Absolutely. And you hope that it moves quicker than you thought.
Yeah.
You know, ideally, they stay healthy this year. They defend well. They use their athleticism to their benefit. They got Nick Nurse, who's a really good coach. And, you know, some growing pains, but maybe some learning experiences that can really benefit you down the line. And Bobby Webster has referenced it many times. Masai referenced it again yesterday. When they first got here, they looked back on the 13-14 season as a reference point, where it was kind of a new era. They were young. They were growing. And they didn't win the championship until 2019. So do the math on that. If they see this as the equivalent of 13-14, and it took them 5 years to build and grow and then wait to pounce on the right deal and everything came together, it's not inconceivable to believe that they're looking at another five-year plan right now. It's just you can't come out and announce a five-year plan when you've been here as long as they have, right?
Right.
Like a five-year plan, quote-unquote, is usually only used by new management or a new ownership or a team that hit the top and then said, we're bottoming out, like the Blue Jays did. Like in 16, they didn't quite announce a five-year plan, but look where we're at. In 16, they were in the ALCS. They've completely bottomed out, and they've made their way back up. This year, 5 years later, they won 91 games and are knocking on the door.
Right.
So the Raptors are probably in year one of a five-year plan. And you hope it goes quicker than that. But if we're being realistic, it probably won't.
Right.
Right. That doesn't mean you're not going to have success between now and year five. That doesn't mean maybe this year you sneak into the playoffs or you're a 500 team with some excitement. Maybe next year or the year after that, you're fighting for the division and you end up with 48, 49 wins and you punch your ticket, you play in the playoffs. Like that happened along the run, right? From 13, 14 all the way up to 19 when they won it. They won rounds. They got swept in the rounds. They made the playoffs. They had ups and downs, roster turnover. You know, that's natural. That's you can't really predict exactly how it's all going to play out. But big picture, 13, 14, took them 5 years. You know, the Jays, when they bottomed out after 16 to get back to where they are today, it took them 5 years. It's a five-year plan for a reason. It gets used a lot because that's generally what it takes to kind of connect the right dots. And
who knows? Maybe they just drafted a kid. Maybe they just drafted a kid this year that turns into a megastar. You never know.
Well, that would be massively beneficial if that's what they have in Scotty Barnes.
Agreed. And that's speed up the timetable a little bit. You know, that's the difference. You know, things change based on health of players, progression of players. Five is a loose term, but it is a target. And it's like that in any sport. You just try and, you know, figure it out and move towards that target. And hopefully the Raptors are kind of, we'll call it rebuild, retool, but they'll still be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the youth. I'm looking forward to seeing Scotty Barnes, you know, Delano Banton. I don't know how much he's going to play. Malachi Flynn, even a guy like Gary Trent Jr., who's, you know, he's not a rookie. He's been in the league for a while, but was acquired last year when they were down in Tampa. You get to see him up here for the first time live. So, you know, there's roster turnover. Things are different here. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, he's back in town for the first time in a long time. Longtime NBAer, former head coach here in the Raps, former coach of
our
the
guy.
Year here at the Raps, our buddy, TSN NBA analyst Sam Mitchell. What's happening, Sam? What's it like downtown?
Man, I'm excited to be at a basketball game for the first time in almost 2 years. As many basketball games as I've been to, I am excited. I'm more excited about this game than any game I probably the last 2 or 3 years, just because you now realize how things could have been taken away from us.
Sam, you're just looking forward to being a big shot again, aren't you? Like pointing that pinata.
I know the routine, seeing people recognizing you. Sammy, what's up? You want to be a big shooter down there, and that's what you missed.
No, first of all, I heard you guys talking. I was watching your show today on television while I was getting dressed, and I heard you guys talking about Augusta National, and I got some bad news for you. Because of COVID, everything's just kind of been put on hold because of COVID right now. That's my excuse.
You're a joke, man. You said last year you were getting us on Augusta National. Holy crap. Come on.
Hey, I want to do y'all like they do me. Whenever I call to order something, they blame it on COVID. So I'm going to blame it on COVID.
All right, we'll pass that down. We'll catch up with you down the road on that.
I told my wife
point.
I missed our anniversary. I said, baby, it was because of COVID. And she said, because of COVID, you're going to sleep outside.
Well, we've all been in that position before, whether it's we have a reasoning or an excuse or not. We've all been in that spot. But we'll bother you again down the road about Augusta. Don't you? COVID will blow over at some point, Sam. You know we're coming back at you at some point.
Oh, I know you're coming back.
Yeah, you know that's coming. But we were just discussing where the Raptors are at. And we had Masai on yesterday. We had Nick Nurse on a couple of days ago. We've had Bobby on a few times. And they keep referencing the 2013-14 Raptors, you know, a young team turning over the roster, hoping to build it up. And that would suggest to me they're kind of thinking maybe we're a 500 team, maybe we're fighting for the playoffs. Is that kind of your viewpoint as to where the Raptors think they are right now?
Yeah, I think so, guys. But this roster going to be a little intriguing. Look, they're going to play positionless basketball. And I've been saying that this summer. When they made those moves for Precious Achiuwa, and some of the thing guys got, and they drafted Scotty Barnes. That's the kind of thought process. And then when they didn't go out and actively try to sign what we would consider a center, that kind of told me. So I'm actually excited to watch the Raptors play because I've always wondered, with positionless basketball really working the NBA, can you put five guys on the floor, say when you take Freddie off the floor, that are 6'6 to 6'9, and they all can handle, they all can shoot, they all can pass. Can you put five guys and switch everything defensively and win basketball games and compete for a championship? I've always wondered that, and guess what? We're going to find out this year with this version of the Raptors.
Sam, you could talk about six positions, five positions, people playing different positions, but you know as well as anybody, winning in the NBA is about elite talent, and we were just talking about the game plan for Masai, how he can and when he'll try to acquire elite talent, because they brought in Kawhi, they won the championship. When do you think will be the next crack at possibly acquiring somebody like that? Because you can't win without it.
Well, in order to get elite talent, guys, you got to develop some players that people want. So when you look at this Raptors roster, it's going to be interesting to see Scottie Barnes and see how OG keeps developing, Pascal keeps developing. Because in order to get a guy like Kawhi Leonard, you're going to have something to give up that people are going to want. So I think more around the trade deadline, but it's going to be interesting just to see how these guys develop, how quickly they develop. And you're not going to really get a sense of it until Pascal comes back. Until this team gets healthy and you get Boucher back and Pascal back, you're really not going to be able to see what this team can be. But again, like Leo Routen used the word the other day when we did a show Monday. He said intriguing. This team is going to be intriguing because they got some good players. They got some good pieces. They don't have that one guy, that stud guy like Joel Embiid or the Joker. But they got five, six, seven good players. And remember now, the Detroit Pistons, without a bona fide star, with Chauncey Billups, Rick Hamilton, and Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace, they were able to compete and win a championship. So you never know, guys, what could happen.
We're chatting with Sam Mitchell, our TSN NBA analyst. You were here for the early years of Chris Bosh, and Bosh continues to get referenced because he went fourth overall in 03. Scottie Barnes went fourth overall this year. What kind of advice would you have for Nick Nurse when it comes to coaching and handling such an immense talent who is that young and dealing with a lot of expectations, the same way Chris was back in, you know, 03, 04, and the way Scottie Barnes is going to have to handle it this year?
Well, far be it, and Nick Nurse needs my advice, guys, championship winning coach. But if he asked me, I would say what I did with Chris: push him, coach him, get on him, and not in a bad way. People think when you say get on a guy, they think you're talking about screaming and yelling. No. Not about screaming and yelling, guys. You catch anything with more sugar than you know what. So it's all about pushing him, having constant conversation, reminding him of what he wants to be, and engaging in conversation with these young guys. I used to talk to Chris all the time about what you want to be, what's your vision of the team, do you want to win a championship? And I wanted to get him thinking about those things. And so I think Nick is going to do those things, talk to Scottie, because I think Scottie is going to be important. He can defend a lot of positions. He can handle the ball. And his value may not be necessarily scoring points. It just may be a little bit of everything. I think he's that kind of player.
Goran Dragic, you've used the word intrigue a lot here in our conversation. He intrigues me in terms of where this is going because, you know, I think he'll be traded more than likely at some point unless the Raptors are in a playoff spot and he's playing a big role for them.
And but he probably should be, guys, yeah, at some point. If they're not rolling really well, because he can bring you some. And plus, you got young guys that need to continue to play.
Right. So what can they expect out of him then in terms of helping the young guys? Because everything I've heard from him, he sounds – like a great guy in a room. He's talking up the kids. I mean,
he's had a complete turnaround.
Yeah, his attitude has changed pretty quickly here.
Well, guys, I'm going to cut him some slack, man. First of all, when you've been with an organization as long as he's been with and had success in Miami and know those people, it hurts, man, when you get traded. I don't care what anybody say, it hurts. So I'm going to give him a pass on his early comment. I think he's going to be a great leader in that locker room. He's a good player, a veteran player that knows how to play. I think he's going to be able to help guys in their growth like Malachi Flynn. He's going to be able to help all those young players. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to be able to help the Raptors win games. And even more important, if he plays well, he's going to really be able to help the Raptors at the trade deadline because he may be able to bring a young, talented player back or a draft pick back that the Raptors can use to continue to build. So I think at the end of the day, whether he's on the floor or eventually traded, I think he's going to bring huge dividends for the Raptors.
Sam, we got one last thing for you. When are we playing Augusta, player? Tell us. That's all I care about.
Hold on. Look, man, I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to promise you a date. The only thing I can't promise you is this pandemic, man. So if we get a fourth.
Dude, hang on a sec. I don't want to go to Georgia. I don't want to go to Georgia and play some goat track. I want to play Augusta Nashville.
First of all, you better be careful coming to Georgia because Georgia is wide open. We never shut down. So you might want to be a little careful. And the people who run the state of Georgia, they're not I was watching y'all coronavirus task force today on TV, and the mayor and the doctor talking about the things that they're doing and how silver it was. It ain't like that in the States, guys. So you might want to wait a little bit before you come to, especially Atlanta, because I'm telling you, man, my wife and I used to laugh every day during the height of the pandemic. Man, Georgia was wide open.
Yeah, they don't. It was almost just like a
secondary story. Dude, don't ask me about
story.
My country. Don't ask me about my country and why we do what we do. And I'm going to say we because I'm an American. Mm-hmm. Why we do what we do. But, dude, anybody tell you that you can't do something in America? Oh, my God. It's just ridiculous, man. It's crazy.
All right. Well, we'll take a rain check. We'll get down there at some point. There's some other tracks around Augusta.
Yeah,
Atlanta.
I can't do much. Hey, guys, I'll tell you what, though. I can bring you guys to my track, Golf Club of Georgia in Atlanta.
Yep.
I'm telling you something now. It's not Augusta National, but We got 36 holes.
We'll play there in the morning, and then we better play East Lake and Atlanta Athletic Club after
now,
that.
Now, I can get you on East Lake. My agency has a membership at East Lake.
Attaboy.
You got to walk, though. Yep. There's no carts.
That's fine. Well, that's
a
an
bit
issue.
Of a problem. Oh,
that's a problem. You better have a horse or something.
They have caddies. They have caddies.
Okay. So. Caddies, yeah. Can they carry it? Can the caddy carry the old dog if need be on the back nine?
Hey, man, old dog, he may have to carry me with him.
Okay, we can make it work. It's a package deal. All right, enjoy it down there, Sam. It's always great catching up with you, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys.
There is Sam Mitchell. Love having Sam back in town.
He's the best.
Oh, and he joined us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. East
and
Lake. Tell me you'd walk East Lake.
I would walk East Lake. And okay, I'm telling you, Sammy, we were kidding around there, but there's something about being back in the mix when you're Bobby Big Wheel, you're shooting the guns, you're like, hey, what's up, playa, what's up, what's going on?
He is feeling it.
Oh, yeah, because the guy's 7 feet tall, he's a good-looking dude, and it's like people notice who he is, and he likes the vibe.
Guys, he's loved
it. It's a big name in the city. It's a big name.
When you sit on the couch for a year, your ego gets involved, you're like, there's no more, hey, playa, what's up? So, Sam, he likes getting in the mix.
Well, he's in the mix down there. It sounded like there was a pretty good buzz. I mean, we're still a couple hours away from tip-off, and it's buzzing downtown, right, on a Wednesday night. The weather was nice today. It was beautiful today, and hopefully it carries over throughout the night. And Raptors are back home, and they're playing, and the energy in the city, you can just feel it. Like, the sports teams represent so much. And I know this is in our bubble. So I get it. If you're not a sports fan or the sports teams don't matter to you, then you probably wouldn't really care about this. But in our world, you know, it's just something about the idea that people are in the building, that the teams are here, that the media has access to it. You know, they're going to be doing hits on the court tonight, you know, I would assume. And they're in the building. They're down there, and they're doing their thing. And it's great to have Sam back up here, and the game can be seen on TSN tonight. And the NBA got started last night. I will say this. Watching LeBron last night, he went off for 34 points and 11 rebounds. They lost. The Lakers didn't play that well. They couldn't shoot. But he has been in the league for 18 years. He's 36 years old, and he puts up 34 last night.
Yeah, for like, fun.
The guy is not normal. Like I can't come up with an adjective anymore. I can't believe LeBron and Tom Brady are still playing and still doing what they're doing. Like, it's amazing.
Special people, plus they're committed to their craft and their body. Like, you know, LeBron spends that money. Brady has the, you know, the guru there. I thought Brady was funny on that one interview today talking about Aaron Rodgers. Is that today or yesterday?
Yeah, I saw the video today.
Did you see it? Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I mean, that Brady is, whatever he is, whether you like him or not, I think he's got a lot of personality. He's just starting to show it now in Tampa. Like he just looks so at peace, you know. He just
enjoying
himself.
There's also the element, Hayes. There's also the element of like freak/greatness. It's like there's a bunch of guys that spend money on their body, but they're not even close to performing at that level at that age. Blah blah blah. So there's all the stuff, the intangibles they do that every other guy does, but there's just that one intangible of greatness/being a freak. There's there's no other way around it.
Like just uber confidence all the time. You know, like LeBron was driving to Staples last night, probably thinking I'm going off for 30 tonight. And Brady, you know, drives to the stadium and he's like, we're winning the ball game. You know, we're winning tonight. I'm going to play very well. At 40, 35 years old. LeBron 36. LeBron doesn't get injured. Like, it's just, it's amazing, man. He looked like a 25-year-old last night. Mm-hmm. And right. I don't think he's playing 82 games this year. I think load management will be a priority. I think it's going to be a priority for the Lakers team in general because they're an old team, like right. literally an old team. And they're going to have to be careful with who they run out, when they run out, and how they run out. But, you know, here goes LeBron chasing an MVP. Yeah. Tom Brady's top five MVP right now in the NFL. LeBron will be a top five MVP candidate this year. And we all know where it's going. And he's been in the league for 18 years. All right, Craig Button coming up just after 6 o'clock. We'll get Craig's take on where the Leafs stand. They're not in action until Friday night, doubleheader. They play Friday at home against San Jose and then at Pittsburgh on Saturday night. We talked about the Habs. We'll get back into it, the fact that Bergevin spoke with the media today. And the Winnipeg Jets, they're getting nervous in Winnipeg. They do not like the way things have started out there with the Jets. So that more coming up later this afternoon. Al's brother will join us. He's got a bunch of takes that he wants to tweet out. They got to go through us first. The filter's coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
No filter?
You have no filter.
That's
obvious.
That's true. That's
you
a good thing.
You say whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah.
You don't really modulate your,
yeah.
your feelings at all. I'll
yeah.
tell you.
It's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
All right, here he is, Al's brother. Another rendition of The Filter. I think critically acclaimed segment. I think most people are into it.
One of the last segments he's going to do on this show.
Yeah, before we get to some of your takes that are going to go through the filter here, where you got to get through us before you can send it out, how do you respond to that? Because it's a pretty
trouble.
Bold statement from the O-Dog yesterday, your partner, saying you're basically – he's going to do to you what Jonas Siegel did to
yeah,
Mark Masters.
He Siegeled me. He Siegeled yeah. me. I feel just like Masters. I know how he feels now. I didn't feel great about it. I was up tossing, turning all night last night. But I think he still has roughly 24 hours to rethink some of the comments that he made.
Okay.
Oh. You know how I am, the three of you. I'm not rethinking things.
Well, you might have rethinked.
I got to go at this alone tomorrow.
All right. Wow. We'll see how you're feeling in the morning. We'll see. I usually get a text from him. How you feeling? Where
you
leaning?
You know you're going to talk to Al's brother tomorrow during the day and come up with some sort of plan. Even if you make the announcement on your own, Al's brother's going to have a say in it. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Agreed.
And listen, you need a lifeline because Baker Mayfield's out tomorrow night. It's Case Keenum time in Cleveland. That's going to – like the line, I'm assuming, has moved, Al's brother. I haven't checked.
It has. It started out at 5, and then when they found out that there were some injuries going on and it wasn't yet decided, it moved down to 3.5. It's now down to Cleveland -2. So they're still favored.
I like Keenum. Where was he? Minnesota last, where I liked him doing some damage?
Wow. Yeah, the
Minnesota
Miracle.
That.
He's
I like Case Keenum.
You shouldn't. Case Keenum, there's a reason he's a backup. What's the like about Case Keenum?
Well, anyway, the filter.
Okay. Al's brother, I think you'll be included tomorrow. We'll see. But, yes, Cleveland, Denver, that'll be the pick tomorrow night. So the way this works, Al's brother, you have a bunch of takes that you would like to tweet out, but they have to go through us first. So we will either say send that tweet, end that tweet, or nuclear option, delete your account if it's just absolute rubbish.
Garbage.
Just a garbage take from your Al's brother. So the floor is yours, buddy. What do you have?
Well, I mean, keeping on the same theme of Case Keenum, I know that I may not get my input tomorrow, so I might as well let it go here. But, oh, I'm kind of with you, man. I think Case Keenum gives the Browns just as good a chance to win tomorrow night in Denver than Baker Mayfield would have.
Nuclear option.
No way, dude. No way, dude. Send it immediately. Send it immediately because we've been talking about the Browns, and I've included them on the part of the hype show, and Baker Mayfield is one of the most overhyped things in professional sports. He's starting to get the gears now. I watched the NFL today, all the NFL shows. They are starting to single him out and call him a disappointment this year and a part of the problem.
Well, he's a
Send
hero.
It, Al's bro. Oh, he's a total
he's
hero.
He's a total hero. I will say that. But I think he's a pretty good player. And I want to say right now, if you guys aren't noticing this, The guy in the host chair is playing mind games again with you guys.
Oh, is that what this is?
Absolutely.
Oh, it is. I'm putting the reverse voodoo on Al's brother.
You did some voodoo
thing
the other
day. Was it the Dodgers game a couple weeks ago?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But I think he's just slightly throwing things out there to let you stew on them to see where he's at. But I mean, Mayfield's a pretty good quarterback.
Exactly. So. Exactly. He's not Tom Brady, he's not Lamar Jackson, he's not Mahomes, but he's also not Case Keenum. Like, that's where I take issue with the idea that Case, because if Case Keenum could give them the same as Baker Mayfield, then why keep Baker Mayfield in the future? Why would Baker Mayfield be getting the starts? That would suggest if Keenum comes in and plays really well, Baker Mayfield is fighting for his job, and I don't believe that that's the case. So I'll say ended. It's not a nuclear option. And I believe the game is in Cleveland. You might want to get that right. I'm pretty sure the game is in Cleveland, not in Denver tomorrow night. But I will say ended because he's a backup for a reason. Baker is still better. And I think they could be in some trouble tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll find out what your pick is tomorrow. Al's brother, what else do you have for us?
Well, let's revisit a tweet that y'all said to tuck into the drafts a couple of weeks ago. Because I still think that my boy Michael Bunting is a lock for 25 goals.
Okay. You're doubling down on tweets? Is that like this has already been through the filter and you want...
You said tuck it into the draft, so I'm curious. Yeah. Can I now put this out there? Can I send this away?
Four games in? Okay.
Is
got
it
two
what?
Goals,
what?
I believe.
Is,
yeah, he's got two goals so far.
Is it on track for 25? Would like to see 25?
No,
or
I think
automatic 25?
I think he's scoring 25.
I'll say send that. He's going to get some opportunities, man. He's got some positive mojo going. He had a great preseason. He's got two and four games, three games. Send it.
I don't know. It's a big number. And, I'm saying
a lot of goals.
I'm saying put it back into the drafts until you're 20 games into the season and see where things settle out. Because, I mean,
That's a part of this
Sam
exercise.
Sam Steele
though.
Has four goals right now. Who has five? The kid in Detroit. Bertuzzi's got five already. You're going to be like this. Like, you got to just let things breathe in that first week. He's done a great job. I'm happy for him, but let's just see where the dust settles with Bunting. I'd put it back in the draft. I wouldn't end it. I'd just put it back in the draft.
Yeah, I'm going to end it because, listen, he's off to a great start, but I don't think he's not going to get any power play time. He's not going to be a guy that's going to play with the puck on a stick a lot. Like, he's going to have to score in ugly areas, which is what he's basically done his first two goals.
Yeah.
You know, his first goal where it was a stop-up on a two-on-one, give or take, that was a nice goal, nice play by him. But 25, I think it's just more about disrespecting that number. That's a lot of goals in the NHL. 25 is a lot, man.
It is.
That's a consistent goal score. And I'm just not prepared to get there with Bunting. Like, 20 would be a spectacular season. Let's clarify that right now. If you could guarantee me 20 goals from Bunting, I would sign off on that in a heartbeat. You're suggesting that you should play it out because you think he'd score more than that, or you believe he will score more than that. I'm not willing to go that far down the road. Been thoroughly impressed with his play. I like him as a player, but I'm going to end it.
He can move up into the lineup too, which creates even more opportunities. And if the Leafs are going to shoot the puck on goal, like they had 73 shot attempts the other day, if that's the case, someone who likes to hang around the net, dig around, and get those greasy goals, that's going to create a lot of opportunities for him to score.
Yep. Well, and that was the role Hyman played, right?
Exactly.
What did Hyman's – what was his max? I'd have to look it up.
21, wasn't it? 22?
Yeah, that might have been shortened seasons, though, but
yeah. That's true. I mean, fair. Prorated, yeah.
But still, like that's – Zach Hyman was not a lock for 25 at any point.
Yeah.
So I'll say ended. What else do you have, Al's brother?
Well, the Montreal Canadiens not off to a great start. 0-4 to start the season. Last time this team went 0-5, they found their GM and coach ousted. Do you believe, or I am saying, that Dom Ducharme and Coach Bergevin are on the hot seat after this slow start?
Interesting. Ducharme's I'll let Noodles go first.
I don't think Ducharme is. They just hired him.
He came in after Julian, right? Like he kind of just supplanted Julian, and then they just anointed him as the head coach.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What are you saying? Both of them are getting punted?
Well, not that they're punted, but they're on the hot seat.
Hot seat.
Oh, that as soon as they stunk the joint out, it's the hot seat fires up there.
Yeah, the hot seat is Montreal. Period. Like, they're the same as Toronto. So the same hot seat.
Are you saying so? Maybe we got to clarify the hot seat.
Yeah,
is
I don't
the hot
understand.
Seat,
yeah,
is it the owner's hot seat, Al's brother, or is it the media?
The owners. Like, yes, I believe that one of those two could get punted if
I
this
see.
Thing continues to go as south as it has. Like, if they yeah. start the season, let's
yeah,
say 1-7, 1-8.
Yeah, that's ugly. That's
yeah,
ugly.
I don't think the coach is going anywhere, and I think Bergevin is he's going to play out his contract and may not even come back. Like, this is his 10th year. Like, he even alluded to that at his year-end press conference last year. See how it plays out. So if it continues to get ugly, maybe it just goes away, or maybe it is a firing. But I don't think Ducharme's in trouble there, personally.
I don't think they're going to fire Bergevin. He's at the end of the road. They'll let it play out. He may be back. He maybe won't. Ducharme is a little bit different because he was taking a lot of heat at the end of the regular season last year. Right. Like, there were some suggestions that maybe he didn't bring as much as you want. And I understand what you're saying in terms of the lineage here, where Julian got fired and Ducharme was his assistant, and then he was just anointed, and then all of a sudden they get to a cup final, and it's like, well, clearly this guy's sticking around. But I'll send it. We're talking 1-7, 1-8. Like, that's really ugly, and any coach in the league should probably expect to be on the hot seat. That doesn't mean he's getting fired, but, you know, it's yeah, arbitrary in nature what the hot seat even means, I guess. But, yeah, I'll send that. I'll send it. I mean, it's ugly right now in Montreal. 0-4, Bergevin's doing impromptu press conferences.
And didn't he say today that he thought Shea Weber may never play again?
Yeah, he basically said it's a long shot we're ever going to see him again. Which, like, that's what we've been hearing pretty consistently, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a weird one to follow, man. Like, he's got a long time on his deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's
tracks
kinda
back to Nashville.
Yeah,
the cap recapture won't kick in. He's just going to sit and collect money on LTIR, and that contract is going to be like Brent Seabrook's. It'll get traded around for the cap hit, right?
Right, like, no, exactly. This gets back to the whole, you know, Alex Bishop backup goalie because you don't have enough cap room, where the league is like, no.
Stop allowing guys that are, like, 10 years retired. Chris Pronger got traded like three times.
It's goofy. Datsuk's in Arizona. Yeah. It's stupid. They're not playing anymore. Like,
right. Shouldn't be allowed.
It just doesn't seem consistent with this hard cap where, you know, you're very diligent on what is allowed and what isn't. But to your point, Noodles, I think you're right. Shea Weber is just going to collect money and be around, and his contract's just going to move around.
You don't retire and leave that money on the table.
No.
The guy's given his body to the game. The least you can do is continue to take a check the next 5-6 years. Not that he needs the money. The point is if he can never play again, he's just an LTIR piece, like Seabrook, like, you know.
How do you determine he can never play again is the question. Like, is it mentally he's like, my body's so broken down, I just can't do it anymore?
Well, I think it might be physically. Like, hey, this isn't healed right. This is a weird. Like, there was always, I'm not privy to the information behind the scenes as far as what is actually ailing him. Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's a multiple amount of things. But the league signed off on LTIR for this year for it. Like, there was an investigation or had, you know, investigation, but they had to research
it.
Yeah, look into it. So, obviously, his medical file is in front of somebody with the league, and they're going, this guy can't play this year, or a doctor saying he can't play. Like, the Hossa one, remember people were questioning the skin disorder that Hossa had?
Yeah.
He was fighting through it, and then... Yeah, it's through his equipment. Like, there's some weird things. Like, Hossa was a hell of a player.
There's another one. Has his deal been moved around?
I think it's done now.
Is it done now? It's expired?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's done. I think it is.
Yeah,
he did end up in Arizona. It was one of those contracts where they shipped them off to Arizona to create some cap space or for them
to get to the floor.
No, except Pronger, Datsuk, Hossa, like, you know, they got a Hall of Fame.
David Clarkson. Isn't Clarkson in Arizona right now?
I think he might be now. I think you're right. He may still be lurking. Yeah,
right.
He could be down there. All right, Al's brother, what else do you have?
All right. Scotty Barnes will have more bar play this weekend than Mitch Marner.
That's a good one, Al's brother.
He's an infectious guy. I don't know if you guys have listened to some of his interviews that he's been doing now that he's back here. We had him on the show too, didn't we?
Yeah,
when
we
he
did,
got drafted. Like, he's a good, smooth talker. I think his bar play It'll be up there among Toronto athletes.
I'll send that. Yeah, I'll send it. I mean, now Mitch Marner's already – he's making $11 million. He's a Leaf. He's a stud. He's a superstar. He was a first-team All-Star.
Yeah, but, and if the Leafs – sorry to interrupt, right? If the Leafs end up having two big wins and he's on the scoreboard and Scotty Barnes and the Raptors are crawling out of there because they're not as – deep a team of the Leafs.
Little, that can go against you with Bar Play Analytics. I understand where you're going with that, but it's right? Listen, it's a new guy in town,
Bar
right?
Play Analytics.
It's a new guy
it's the
in
BPAs.
Town.
I am going to end it. I'm going to end it. I know Tim Lewicki said one day in Toronto that the Raptors are going to be bigger than the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is complete nonsense, including their championship win. I think it's always going to be a hockey town. It always will be. And I've seen it. Maple Leafs roll up. They dominate. Sorry.
But the Raptors championship, there was four. How many million people were there?
A couple million people downtown.
They had one day in the sun, okay?
That's more than one day in the sun.
That's more than one day.
A lot more.
More than one day. This
okay there, Mr. Raptor Hayes. Like,
what? He's got a ring.
Okay, they had more than one day in the sun, but there'll never be a more popular than that Maple Leaf.
Mr. Maple Leaf.
Okay.
What does it matter? I don't care one way or the other. It's not my bar play. I'm not the one that's down on the streets.
You were trying to be a Wiki hero, and you're like, it was more than one day.
Well, you just one day in the – they won an NBA championship. Like, you were downtown for it. You were around for it.
Yeah,
the Leafs haven't won a playoff round in 17
years. That was supposed
years.
To be four, and we didn't have a sandwich.
The Leafs could help themselves if they won a playoff round for the first time in 17 years. That would probably
very
go a long way.
That very would true.
Help. Yeah, that, there yeah. you want a day in the sun there. That would probably help.
I would do a 12-hour show with no sandwiches for that.
For one playoff win,
Duthie with air conditioning right beside us with full
Duthie
sandwiches
setup?
And yeah.
He had a full buffet, like air conditioning, and we were stuck in the sun.
Yeah,
and there was like, I remember there was a counter with sandwich boxes, and there was like a tomato on a piece of lettuce, and it was like.
Didn't someone stick like sandwiches in their underpants or something? I remember the story around that you were sharing.
It was honestly wartime conditions.
It was a scene.
It wasn't good. And then it got scary there for a bit because of there was an incident, and like it was a long day.
Yeah.
Remember how we were waiting for that? We kept saying, like, yeah, they're right around the corner. That was like 5 hours.
That was the worst part. I was doing the time checks, and no one was giving me updates. Like, we were live on the air. I'm like, where are these guys? And they're like, they'll be here.
You guys, come on down there from noon till four. You'll be out of there. Midnight, the parade starts, and it was a sideshow.
Well, we were supposed to go and do the show on Queen Street. Remember, we were supposed to wrap up at, like, 2 o'clock. I think we were on from 10 a.m., we were supposed to be on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., take a couple hours off, and then go do the show live from 4 to 7. Yeah. And then they never showed up until like 3:30 or whatever, so we just stayed on the air. And then we were live on the air until, I think, like 5 o'clock. So we were on for like 7 hours straight. And then it was like, well, we're not going down to Queen Street now to do the show. So I think maybe the tap man took over. So I don't even remember.
Who knows? But it was a long day. And there was, the food situation and water situation.
Oh, it was like being in a desert.
Was thin.
It was so thin. And there's Duthie. Like, remember the scene in Three Amigos where.
Yeah, pouring the water
bottoms.
Out.
He's just pouring the water out in the desert.
Washing his mouth out, spitting it out, and we're all just watching it. Like
that was nothing, basically.
That was.
About 20 feet away from us. All right, Al's brother. Do you have any more, or is that the end of the road for your...
Yeah, we got a couple more. We can do, we can do one more.
Why don't we do one more?
We
we'll save one for Filter After Dark.
Sounds good. Well, let's keep on the theme of basketball here, because let's just kill two birds with one stone. Let's trade Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving and end both dramas.
Here's the problem. A vaccine doesn't come with the trade, Al's brother.
No, but the problem with Kyrie is that because he plays in Brooklyn, it's the local issue with the vaccine, and he can't play in Brooklyn. But he could play the home games and practice in his home buildings in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia.
Right. I'm gonna end it because I think it's more complicated than that. I think Kyrie Irving, isn't he threatening or through the grapevine, it's believed he's just going to retire if he's not in Brooklyn. Like, it's a mess. So and I don't think in Brooklyn, I wouldn't want Ben Simmons. You're right from our standpoint on the outside, end the discussion, end all the circus atmosphere. If you're Kevin Durant, James Harden, why would you want a guy that can't shoot, that's a mess himself in Ben Simmons?
I was watching a clip on Ben Simmons today and all the highlights of him. Like, they were showing him in practice, and then they were showing clips of last year. Every clip they showed was one of his shots, and it didn't go in.
No, it's
it didn't go in.
But like, he's an elite defender. You have shooters
dude,
out there.
Who
with
cares,
Durant
man?
Harden.
You don't want somebody with that clout and that's not a superstar. That's a
Max
good defender.
Max Deal too. Yeah, spend that elsewhere if you're
Brooklyn.
Screw
that.
Yeah, and again, if you're in Philly, you just got out of a mess with Ben Simmons.
Why
you want
do you
a
want
bigger
another
mess
one?
With Kyrie Irving or close to it?
Who would you argue? Delete your account.
No, who would you argue is a bigger mess? Is it Simmons or is it Kyrie? I think Kyrie's a bigger mess.
I think he's more difficult to predict and handle because, you know, again, you're right, Al's brother. I guess technically in the state of Pennsylvania he could work and practice, but he can't play in New York. He can't come up here and play. Like, three teams in his division, Toronto, Brooklyn, New York, can't play.
Did I not see that there is actually some national exemption where the NBA players who are unvaccinated can play in
Toronto? I believe that is actually the case.
Yeah,
that may have been a carryover from Major League Baseball, but that to me should not apply. Like, that was back before there were vaccines available. They made those exceptions. I don't see why that would continue now that we're living in a very different world where vaccines are accessible. And if a Torontonian can't get into the building, and before, again, there were no fans in the building. You know, now fans are being held to a different standard. I don't think players should be allowed exemptions on that at all. I kind of hope that would change if it hasn't already. But not the case in New York, not the case with Brooklyn. So it would be a wild scene. It would be consistent with the way the NBA operates, too. It would just be crazy drama. Kyrie, Ben Simmons, staying in major markets, big teams in the East. They'd meet in the NBA Finals, or Eastern Final, I should say. But I just don't see it happening. Too complicated. I will say ended. All right, we'll keep one for After Dark, Filter After Dark, Al's brother.
Sounds good.
All right, there he is, Al's brother. Craig Button coming up in about 20 minutes. Al's brother still to come in just over an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we have a pair of Maple Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs ticket on the Detroit Red Wings Saturday, October 30th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: his former Maple Leaf finished his NHL career just shy of 300 goals and 450 assists. Pretty good career.
Yeah.
Pretty good career. So there's your clue. And we'll have another one on Thursday, another one on Friday, and then the cue to call. And maybe you're going to see the Leafs take on the Red Wings on a Saturday night. Detroit, a team we have not seen in a while.
It's not Aki Berg.
No, not with that amount of points.
No, Aki never hit close to 300 goals, 750 points, not on his Hockey DB page.
Didn't they say one of the clues was that he played for two other Canadian teams?
Mm-hmm.
And went to the Olympics.
Aki Berg, I don't think, played for any other Canadian teams. Did he?
No. I think he played in the Olympics, though.
I know he was a trainer at the Olympics.
He was a trainer. Like, he's been wheeling around the Air Canada Center in World Cups and stuff, sharpening guys' skates.
Yeah, he's a trainer for Team
Dude,
Finland.
Dude, I know. Yeah. He's Finland's equipment manager.
Aki Berg used to light that building up at the ACC, and he's running the show behind the scenes for Finland. You can see the story out of Russia where Ilya Kovalchuk is going to be the GM for the Russian team.
Yeah.
Like, it seems consistent with the way they operate over there.
But it did seem like he bypassed some players like Fedorov and some older guys over there.
But he went home, right? Like, I think that's what it screams of to me, is he left his prime and left money on the table and went home. And he played in the KHL when he was in his 30s.
He's intertwined there probably with the – you know,
the right
their old boys club. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have a good team regardless of who, you know, runs it at the top. I mean, you can't really screw that up, like, with the amount of talent on that Russian team.
That team, I've been saying that team is going to be so dangerous for all of the Malkin, Ovechkin, basically that whole time. And they seem to disappoint a lot.
Yeah. Every time they disappoint.
Yeah, it's like, how does this team not bury everybody?
Well, I mean, the talent is obviously there in terms of high-end talent, but they usually balance out their roster with KHL players.
Right.
Where, you know, they will bypass NHL players for KHL players. And you have to wonder if Kucherov's going to be healthy enough, right? Like, is Kucherov going to be playing come February? It seems like it's unknown at this point. But if he's on the team, clearly that's impactful. If he's not, that's going to be a massive hit for them. Their goaltending will be unreal. We saw Shesterkin the other day. He's a backup at best, right? Yeah. Like Vasilevsky's going to get the start. But I'll tell you what, the Canadian goaltenders, not a great start in terms of, like, the Flower is getting lit up.
Well, yeah,
in Chicago.
The Flower's having it. But, you know, the only guy who's had a little bit, he had a rough first game, Carter Hart. Like, I think Hart has had, he ended up winning that first game, but he might be a guy to keep an eye on, not as a starter, but like as a long shot to be like a three there. But yeah, the Flower.
I don't even know who the hell's after Carter Hart. Like, who are we talking about here?
Darcy Kemper. You're talking about Braden Holtby. You're talking about, you know, the Flower.
Jordan Carter, maybe.
Braden Holtby can't be your guy come Olympic.
No,
he could hardly
no.
play last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a nice start at Dallas, but I'm just saying, I think it would be Binnington. That would be my unofficial. If Carey Price isn't, but the thing is, you know, Carey Price's situation is so fluid, right?
Right.
You know, he could be back in a couple weeks.
Exactly.
Knows,
and if
right?
he's back and playing and fine, then you're all good. And if he starts every game, then you're like, okay, we're fine with this.
Right.
But there's some uncertainty there. And
oh,
I think
Chicago.
Fleury will be there, but Fleury looks terrible. Like, you know, 2 weeks ago it was Price and Fleury, and then whatever happens with the guy in a suit, it doesn't matter.
Right, they were right. giving it to the coach in Chicago, too, I think.
Yeah,
they introduced him.
Yeah, Carlton's in trouble,
tough
I think.
There.
Well,
yeah.
Stan Bowman's the most hated GM in the league. The guy's got 3 cup rings.
Like,
they despise him in Chicago. Craig Button coming up, the Filter After Dark, and look ahead to the Raptors home opener tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.